Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this afternoon we have a wonderful lady with us. She is a returning guest on our show. She is the owner and psychotherapist of Oakley Ogden LLC from Denver, Colorado. Welcome back to the show, the one, the only Oakley Ogden. Welcome back to the show, Oakley. How are you this afternoon?
I am great, Muriel. I'm on fire today.
Wonderful. Okay, well, that's like what's just what we like to hear. Okay, so what we're going to do today is number three of our Conscious Talk series. And so we're going to basically talk today about our New Year's intentions, creating a vision for the new year. For all our listeners out there, if any of you have any questions that you have for Oakley, I'm going to give you our number now. I'm giving it at the beginning of the show so I don't forget halfway through because I talk a lot. The number is 631-257-5704. 631-257-5704. That's the number to our studio here. Give us a buzz. So today, you were saying just before we went on air, you started saying something about how it's time now to basically start creating a vision for the new year, but you say that people create it backwards. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
So what I meant by people creating it backwards, I was just kind of like laughing to myself just then, because I've thought of all the New Year's visions that I've created over the years and how none of them would really come true. You know, it was like, okay, this year I'm going to get in great shape and write a book, right? And that was like, you know, 5 years ago. And then I kind of end up traveling a lot. And I don't know, it would just feel like life would take me on some direction and I would go with it. And it would end up being a great year. It would end up being fulfilling in its own way. But then the next year would roll around and I'd be like, oh, I guess I didn't really do that thing I said I was going to do. So I'm just chuckling at myself. And then when I discovered that we create New Year's visions backwards, this is what I meant. So first, I find that everybody creates the list of what they want. They create the list of what they want to accomplish. You know, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get in great shape. I'm going to build my company. It's going to look like this. I'm going to make sure I take that trip, that really special trip, all of these things. And it's a fact. It's like a well-known fact that like 90% of people drop out of that gym membership or stop going by February. You know, so why do we do that? You know, the gyms are so full. Like, anyone who has a regular membership who goes to the gym regularly will skip the first 2 weeks of January because it's full of New Year's resolution people, right, who they'll all be gone by February, and then you'll get back in your routine, and you can get back on your elliptical and lift your weights without a crowd again. So it's kind of just, like, a little bit of a joke for like, gym folks and you know, in other domains, and I think, you know, I've certainly spent time beating myself up around it. So here's the deal. Let's reverse it. Let's create first how we want to feel next year. So 2017, how do we want to feel? I notice that I have a habit sometimes of getting anxious if I have, like, a ton to do. And by the way, I usually have a ton to do. So I'm confronted with that pattern, you know, on and off. It depends kind of like how much sleep I've gotten, whether or not I'm taking it seriously or not, right? So I get to confront that and I say, you know, okay, in 2017, moving forward, my vision for myself is deep peace, a sense of expanded love for everything that I do, and a deep, deep experience of passion whenever I'm engaged in what I'm up to, right? So then I take those three qualities, those three things, those feeling, experiences that I'm committed to. And that becomes my New Year's resolution, Marielle. And then I say, when I'm in this state, when I'm feeling peace and passion, right, and that huge expansion of love, then I say, wow, what do I want to create from there? What do I want to create once I'm inside of that space of being? And then when I think about, okay, getting to the gym or building my practice or taking that trip or whatever it is, it has a context that's completely different to if we reversed it. And I said, okay, I want to do these things. These are my checklists, right? Because now I'm committed, to the energy it takes to manifest those things. So what we're actually talking about is the keys behind true manifestation. And I did this last year, and I wrote it down very specifically. I started in October, actually, beginning to look at very closely what wasn't working for me anymore. And I came up with three feelings that I wanted to experience, and out of that, I created my life. And I'll tell you what, every single one of them has come true.
That's wonderful. And I have to say,
it's incredible.
It is. And the first word that you said absolutely got to me, the word peace. And I know that there are all our listeners out there, for anyone who's ever had any form of anxiety or depression or anything that's gone wrong in their lives at one stage or another, and that's pretty much everyone on the planet.
Absolutely.
You know, peace is amazing, because I've had times in my life where, like, I've just been overwhelmed, etc. And to find peace, it's like somebody literally lifting a brick off your chest. Like someone, that breeze block has just been lifted. And I think that you're so right, and you've absolutely hit it on the nail on the head when you say, once you've got that peace, there are so many other things that can come thereafter, because it's like you feel good. It's just a great feeling. Now, do we need, I mean, like, people need help around them, though, to be able to find that peace. Do you know what I mean? How can they find that peace? Because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you need, I think you need help from those around you, or to be able to talk to people in order to be able to find that peace. Because sometimes it's just so heavy on us. We need to just get it off our chests, as to say.
I want to give an example of, because we need our community, that's for sure, and we need those conversations, but if we rely on them, we're kind of up the creek without a paddle, if you know what I mean, because then, okay, I'm frantic, I can't get through to talking to my friend, or like someone else is also frantic, so I can't find my peace, right? So let's talk about how to get to that state right now without relying on somebody else. Because what that will create is then I'll be able to create connections that fuel that peace and bring me even deeper, if that makes sense, once I find it in myself.
Right.
So for example, I just got home late last night from a trip. My bag got lost. There's weather in Chicago. I think half the country was backed up in Detroit and all this. And I came home to a full inbox of emails. It's like common, right? I feel like I'm talking to, you know, half of the country. Like, we all get home, we have the inboxes full, you know, my car's in the shop, this, and that. Now, I woke up this morning, I did my meditation practice, and I have to tell you, I felt so good, like clear and grounded and just ready, like ready for the day. And I opened up my inbox. I made it through like a couple emails, and then the phone started ringing. Then the text started coming in, and clients started rescheduling. You know, all these sorts of things that happened during a week. And I just took a moment, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so much what's going on right now. Like, okay, my car's not here. This is happening. Now I have to drive to the airport because suddenly, this is happening. And I had a minute, Marielle, and I was like, wow, I feel overwhelmed right now. And I know myself, right? And I've been in these teachings that I share for 15 plus years by now. And for me, in this moment, I was like, you know, if I want to feel overwhelmed, like, I'll give that to myself, you know? But for me, I don't really get a lot out of it. You know, it makes me feel like I've got all those bricks on my chest, you know, that we were talking about. I don't feel peaceful. I feel like I'm not going to get anything done. My thoughts start changing. My feelings start changing. Now suddenly I'm questioning, like, my life. You know, it's like it's so easy to slip down the rabbit hole when you feel those negative feelings, which are not really negative. They're just ones that I don't really get a lot out of except, you know, a difficult inner experience. And I kind of leaned back in my chair and I took a breath and I was like, you know, like, what am I committed to? And I reminded myself, you know, that deep feeling of peace because of, you know, what I spoke of, that habit, right, of sometimes getting anxious when the inbox is really full. And I just took a deep breath and I came back to choosing that peace. And I thought, what are the thoughts, what are the feelings that align me with that experience of internal peace? And very quickly, I knew which ones did and which ones didn't, which thoughts helped me and which thoughts didn't. And we can ask ourselves, like, helping or hurting, you know, like it becomes very obvious. And so the thoughts of, like, I'm never going to get anything done. How am I going to get the car? Oh, my God, there's no way I'm making it through these emails. That doesn't help me. It doesn't help get anything done. It doesn't help me feel good about my day. It doesn't help me show up in a way that's where I'm committed to showing up in my relationship, you know, with my partner, my friends, you know, all of these things, my family. So I took a breath and I just reminded myself that I'm committed to peace. And that's when I just came back to the present moment, felt my body, felt my beating heart, and then I just reset myself. And everything shifts after that. Suddenly the airline calls and they say, hey, your bag is ready. This is what's happening. It just came in. And now I don't have to call them and be on the phone for that 20 minutes of silence, music, and, you know, whatever that whole thing is. You know, it's like things just shift. The day shifts because my attitude shifts. You know, suddenly I do have room in my schedule for that lunch that formerly just seemed like all the walls were falling down on me. You know, I don't have time to go pick up that present and to get that lunch and do this thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I have time for that. That's okay. And even if I didn't, then I would say, okay, cool, I don't have time for that. Not a big deal. So I think it's really important that when we set these New Year's resolutions, this vision for ourselves, and we choose those 2 to 3 qualities, that's what I mean by being committed to those qualities, because that's suddenly the context, right? It's so easy to not go to the gym when I'm overwhelmed with my inbox, because suddenly I'm overwhelmed, and now my goal is to be un-overwhelmed. And the way that I stop overwhelm is by making sure I get everything done, which sometimes Absolutely. Isn't the right way to do it. So now I'm committed to peace. So what does that mean? Hey, maybe I do need to go for like a quick run for 20 minutes or hit the gym for 45. I'm just going to reset. I'm going to take a breath. And I swear to you, I will be so much more productive after that reset than I will for 4 hours of overwhelm work.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a very, very quick commercial break right now, ladies and gentlemen. But our guest this afternoon is Oakley Ogden. And just to remind you, the number for our studio here is 631-257-5704. Bear with us. We'll be back straight after this quick commercial break.
Have you been injured in an auto accident and need transportation to and from your medical appointments? KMW Transportation is located and services the Metro Detroit area. Owned and operated by Shaquana Ford, KMW Transportation Company provides reliable, affordable service guaranteed to get you to and from your destinations on time in a clean and smooth and safe manner. Do you need to get up and go? Call for your car service directly at 313-293-0234. Or by email at quantamarie2015@gmail.com. That's 313-293-0234 or quantamarie2015@gmail.com.
Have you found positive thinking programs to be lacking? Does what they tell you to do feel forced? Let the Masterful You help you dismantle emotional barriers preventing your happiness and success without forcing new belief systems on yourself. Certified life coach Jennifer Mandel will help you reduce emotions hindering positive thinking and add ones necessary to attain it. Please visit themasterfulyou.com. That's the masterfulyou.com or call 732-991-0093. That's 732-991-0093.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly. And this afternoon, we have the wonderful Oakley Ogden with us. Welcome back to the show, Oakley. Yay. Now, during our commercial break, we had a caller that came in. I hope the caller is still there. Hello, caller. And what's your name for Oakley?
Hello. My name is Cindy, and I'm calling from Ohio. My question is, I do want to become a business coach such as yourself, and I was wondering, how would I go about that? What would be my first step?
Your first step for becoming a business coach?
Yes.
Have you looked at business coaching programs online?
Yes, I have. I just want to find the best location to go into to start out my brand.
Okay. So the first thing that I would invite you to do is set the goals for yourself. And we're talking a lot about vision today, so I think that your call is really apropos. So I would set the vision for yourself. Who's your clientele? Who's your avatar? Like, who's your ideal client, meaning, you know, if you want to work for any business, do you want to work for Coca-Cola? Do you want to work for Estee Lauder? Do you want to work for nonprofits? Do you want to work for small startups? Who are your people? Are they millennials? Are they older folks? Where do you see yourself working in 5 years? What do you see yourself, what do you see your offering being in 10 years? Right? So these are the kind of the questions that it's important to sit down and start to think about, because I'll tell you, life is going to take you somewhere. And if you don't name where you want to go, you're going to end up somewhere. And you might wake up and say, hey, this is not what I thought business coaching was going to be like. Right? So setting those visions for yourself and creating a direction, because there's so many programs out there. I mean, there are programs you can get certified in 3 months, for crying out loud. You know, is that the kind of thing that you want to do, or do you want to do one that is going to kind of push you a little further? I know Tony Robbins has a coaching program now that I've heard great things about. There's the NLP community, the neuro-linguistic programming community. You have to figure out what's a good fit for you. NLP is a really, really powerful coaching training company that I think is awesome. So it's really, really up to you in getting to know yourself.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, caller. Bye.
Cute.
Gosh, you're like a fountain of knowledge over there, Oakley. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be giving out phone numbers as well soon.
I know. I'm like, why did you call my friend? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what? I'm not thinking. I was thinking, but apparently we have another caller, so I've got another 2 minutes to think. Hello, caller. What's your name and what's your question for Oakley?
Okay, so my name is Veronica, and I'm calling because, well, my question is pretty much, I want to get into coaching, consulting, therapy, anything. I've always imagined myself helping people along with their struggles. Now, my only struggle is pretty much being afraid of the challenges and the obstacles. I know I can overcome them. It's just, what were some of the obstacles or challenges, just certain things that kept knocking you down when you were going through the process of being a therapist yourself?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm gonna answer that question with another question, if you don't mind, and then I'm happy to share that stuff. What are the obstacles that you're afraid of?
See, I'm not, see, that's why I'm afraid, because I don't know what I should be preparing myself for. I'm just afraid of failing, I guess. I really want to help people, and if I fail, then I don't have that opportunity to help others that need it. And I guess that's kind of what I'm afraid of.
Awesome. Right on. Way to name it. That's pretty courageous. Good for you. So failing means if you fail, you're not going to get another chance to help people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's reframe that, okay? So what if failing, Veronica, just meant that life was helping to direct you in the best possible path that was for you and not anyone else? What if you applied somewhere and you didn't get in and you called it a failure, and so you had to apply again to somewhere else or maybe that program, and you learned something about yourself along the way, and that program ended up being a better fit than the one that, quote, you failed at? And what if life just knew your plan and had an idea of what was best for you that was even more wise than what your own personality, ego, self knew was best for you? So failing actually became this amazing dialogue between you and the universe and life itself that supported directing you towards your dreams and your goals, because I'll tell you one thing, life wants nothing more than for you to succeed. But failure is a part of that, and I failed a ton of times. I ate it. I fell on my face so many different times, and I'll tell you, every single time I got up, I was so much stronger and so much more humble and so much more available to listen to what was there for me. So I don't regret a moment of trying, and I don't regret a moment of failing. And failing's a part of it, girl. So, like, get on board with it, because the bigger the risks you take, the bigger the failures are going to be, and that's awesome. You're going to be inside a community of people who are out there making their lives happen, and every single one of us who make our lives happen know what failure feels like and knows what it looks like. And after a while, it's exciting. Who cares? Okay, cool, that's it. What's the next idea?
Definitely. I love your look and your aspects on life in general. I love it. Thank you so much for your help.
You're so welcome, Veronica. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye.
I love that caller's question. I love the fact that she's scared of failing, because I find that that's something that it basically starts at a very young age, where, you know, you see things. And I remember being, you know, as a young child, for instance, having like the races at school, and you know, you had to compete against everybody else in your class to see who's going to be representing the school and stuff like that. And I'll be honest with you, I never raced fast. I always kind of like jogged. I never gave it 100%. And I'll be honest, Oakley, I was scared of failing. I was scared that if I ran as fast as I could and I didn't get to be the first or second place in that heat to win, that it would prove to me that I actually was a slow runner. And I remember, I think I was only maybe 9 or 10 years old at the time, but it's amazing when she said failure, I was like, my God, it's something that starts at a very young age where we don't try as much or don't give 100%, because there's always that thing of, oh, you know what, I didn't give 100%. So that means that had I given 100%, you know, I would have been the one who won the race, but I didn't, so I'll never know. Do you know what I mean?
I know so deeply what you mean in my own experience. I mean, I've done that too, and I think it's like if we live life just being afraid of failure, we'll find ourselves not giving it 100%, and then suddenly now we're living a life where we're not engaged. You know, like, who knows if we try? We learn so much about ourselves through failure and through our relationship to failure. Like you said, I think I remember applying for colleges and we had to write our essays over Christmas break, right? Because everything had to get like sent out when we got back. And I remember being home. I went to boarding school, so I remember very specifically I was home in my childhood bed and I was working on an essay. And these were the days where you would hand write the essay, you know, which is like hilarious. And I was applying to this Ivy League school that I just wanted to go to more than anything in the world. And I remember it was late at night, like, you know, midnight or something like that. And I was just this little high schooler. I'm sitting there with my blue pen, and I'm under the covers, and I'm writing my essay, and I stopped. And I said, I'm probably not going to get into this school because my SAT scores weren't that competitive. I'm just probably not going to get in. I don't even want to know. And I put the essay aside, and I never applied to that school. And it stayed with me all through college. I went to another fantastically competitive school, and while I was there, I was like, I wonder if I should apply just to see if I could get in. You know, it was, like, still there with me. So
right.
I think, you know, there's that kind of, like, sagely phrase that we only regret what we never tried. We never regret what we gave it our all. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll take my own advice, too, like getting out there and just going for it. We got nothing to lose, you know? It's just life. We're all in the same boat.
Exactly. I think that's such a positive attitude. It's just because I think we're all so, we all compete, people compete so much against each other. And, you know, sometimes it's just overwhelming. And I sometimes think, you know what, just being a hermit somewhere, just traveling around with nothing but, like a little bowl or something, it's a good lifestyle. Because seriously, I mean, you know, and everything is competitive, from where you live to what you do to, you know, what sports your kids play. And it's just like, when did we start to be like this? When, you know, when did we lose ourselves to this? When did children stop being children? I actually judged a family the other day. I don't even know who this family is, just to let you know, whoever you are in the Harbourfield School District, I'm very sorry for judging you. But I saw a kid the other day, a couple of weeks ago. And honestly, this kid was riding his bicycle. He must have been like maybe 8, maybe 9 years old. And he was riding his bicycle by himself, just doing nothing, just riding his bicycle down the road. And I was like, oh my God, where's the mother? Where are the parents? You're such bad parents. And then I stopped and I was like, hold on a second. When I was growing up back in England, I was like 6 years old and I'd be out. And I didn't come back home until all the mothers came out like screaming and shouting, Muriel, dinner. But now we judge everybody, everything, you know, mm-hmm. And it's just a vicious circle.
It really is. It really is. And I think, you know, that's why I think it's so important for all of us to come back and start to dedicate and commit ourselves to who we want to be and who we and through, you know, choosing, like, am I going to choose peace or am I going to choose love? And just choosing, or, you know, or am I going to choose judgment? Because it's so easy, Muriel. And I know we're kind of coming to time on our show, and maybe we can talk about it next week. It's so easy to go there to judge. I mean, we all do it. And when we change our attitude and we go inside of ourselves and we say, I'm going to make a commitment this year to do the very best I can to choose something other than that, to choose love, to choose peace, to choose harmony, whatever it is. And again, we have to remember, this is not like a kumbaya thing, right? It's not like, oh, I choose love. I'm not going to have an opinion about anything anymore. It couldn't be farther from that. When we choose love, we find so much power in our bodies and our voices around what works for us, what doesn't work for us, what's allowed in our lives, what's not allowed in our lives, what we're willing to accept, what we're not willing to accept. And I think that's kind of the wives' tale going around that's like, oh, if you choose love, you're going to become some, like, pushover doormat, you know, like, oh, my God. It couldn't be farther from the truth. And I think, you know, we've kind of created that. Maybe the ego has created that little story so it can survive, you know, with glee as we, like, continue to choose judgment and separation. So more
absolutely
to talk about on that for sure.
Absolutely. And as you said, we have come to the end of our show right now. But ladies and gentlemen, come back next week. So next week is going to be number 4 of our Conscious Talk series. And we're going to carry on from where we left off today. So next week, we're going to be talking about our New Year's resolution. But we're going to be able to talk about choosing love over judgment and basically, you know, looking into ourselves. And again, we had the wonderful Oakley Ogden with us. Go over, have a look at her website. It's www.oakleyogden.com. send her an email, oakley@oakleyogden.com, or give her a tinkle at 720-663-9056. And come back next week for number 4 of our series of Conscious Talk. Until next week, Oakley, have a wonderful weekend and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you, Marielle. You too. And thank you for all the callers today.
Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.